Good morning. You know, Tammy was telling the story earlier about the hail that hit us, and I don't know if I missed it or if she just didn't say it, but my first thought was, let's get some of these cars under some cover. I didn't know how big the hail was going to be, and so I took my truck and put it under the big tree. I took Megan's car and put it under the big tree. And I said, Tammy, where are your keys? She said, leave it where it is. I want a new car. So she got a new car. And anyway. Well, today I want to continue in our Made New series. This is week 3. Who's been here for the last two? We started on Easter Sunday. And we talked about how the resurrection makes it possible for us to have to be renewed, to be born again, to be saved, to know by faith that we have life even after death. We have life, eternal life. We looked at Peter's life, how Peter's life changed from him declaring who Jesus was, then denying who Jesus was. He essentially kind of turned his back on Jesus, but Jesus gave him a second chance and he renewed his faith and followed him and did great things. He was able to get past his past and move on to greater things. And if you remember in week 1, I said, that's true for all of us. There's been times where we've been strong in our faith. There's been times where we've doubted God, gotten mad at God, maybe turned away from God. But you know what? God's always waiting for us to turn back to Him and finish what He had planned from the very beginning. Last week, I looked at labels, breaking the labels that bind, believing what God says about you, who you are in Christ, versus what other people say by putting labels that aren't authorized by God on your life, and how sometimes if we live under those labels, we're in some form of bondage. We're living under some lie about us. And last week I shared some ways that we can break free from the labels on us. Today I want to talk about another topic that's related to getting past our past, and it's the F word, forgiveness. And I've titled today's message, Forgiving Those Who Hurt You. Because if you walk with unforgiveness, it really hurts you more than it hurts them. In fact, the people that hurt us deeply, that we still maybe have a grudge against or have some reservation about, I'm never going to forgive them, I don't want to see them ever again. Sometimes our thoughts go, I wish they were dead. I want to get back and do to them what they did to me. You know, all those natural thoughts that come across our brain, right? But that's not what God's Word says. In fact, God's Word says, I want you to be open to forgiving them because of what it does to you, not to them. And I wrote down just a few thoughts here about why this is so important, because all of us would say, yeah, I remember when that happened. I remember when that was said. I remember what they did to me or what they did to somebody I love and care about. And maybe it was just a misunderstanding or miscommunication, or maybe it was very intentional, malicious. It was an intentional betrayal. Maybe it came from somebody close around you, like a spouse or a family member. You know, that really hurts worse. We kind of expect it from outsiders, but man, when it hits close to home, those sometimes hurt the worst. And you were wounded. Maybe you're walking with a wound right now, or maybe this wound happened years ago, and you're still carrying that wound. If you've been through our John 10:10 ministry, this is one of the major beginning points of getting free, is kind of doing an inventory of who hurt you, who do you still have a grudge towards, who do you still have some resentment towards, because we help them get to the place where they can verbally forgive. Your feelings may not be there yet. Well, I'll forgive them when I feel like it. It may never happen if you're waiting for your feelings. But what God's Word says is, you obey me and forgive them, and your feelings towards them, not that it'll ever be back the way it was, you just won't be walking around being a bitter, hateful person. And so today we're going to see what God's Word says about forgiving those who have hurt us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this message. I know we've heard things like this many times, but we just need to be reminded, because we constantly are being hurt. We're being offended. We're being let down. We're being disappointed. We're being betrayed. We're being lied about. It's a never-ending cycle of hurts that come to us. And we have to just really be good at remembering that the right thing to do in every situation is to forgive. And so help us hear this message today and help us act on it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 11. If you remember last week for labels, I had kind of a sticky statement. God's truth about you is bigger and more powerful than any other truth about you. So this week's sticky statement is this: what seems impossible with man, like forgiving those who have hurt you big time, that seems impossible, okay? But what seems impossible with man is very possible with God. And I truly believe that true forgiveness can't be administered or walked out, walked through, followed through with, without the power of the Holy Spirit working in that situation. Our flesh does not want to forgive. And so it's the Spirit in us that we've got to tap into if we're going to do what God tells us to do. Now, some of you, the first, you know, pushback is, but you don't know what they did to me, Pastor. And you're right, I don't. I don't. But I know what people have done to me. I know how I've been hurt by the lies or the rejection or the verbal abuse or whatever it is. Lied to, lied about. I know what that feels like. And I also know what God's word says about it. And so I don't know your story, and I'm not going to compare stories. I'll give it to you that your story, many of your stories are probably way worse than my story, but it still boils down to what God says about what you should do so that it quits hurting you. So my hope today is that you would be open to what you hear and that you would be obedient to do what God tells you to do so that you can no longer be bound by these cords of unforgiveness that keep us bound up to the wrong things. Amen? So I've got three big points today. First one is, who should I forgive? Who should I forgive? Mark 11:25 says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. So who should you forgive? Anyone for anything. I don't see any exceptions. I don't see any caveats. I don't see any disclaimers. I don't see any exclusions. Jesus said, forgive anyone or everyone for anything or everything. Now, I like to use the words anyone and anything because it makes it very personal. We're talking about that one person. We're not talking about everybody. We're talking about that one person that did what they did to me or did what they did to somebody I love and care about. That person, that one. Jesus said, forgive anyone for anything. That's the who. Now, if you were to make a list of those people who have hurt you deeply, who would be at the top of that list? Could be a spouse, could be a mom or dad, could be a sibling, could be a boss. I want to encourage you to write that name down somewhere. That's the anyone that God wants you to forgive for whatever they did. Here's the second point. Why should I forgive? Because Pastor Bob, I don't feel like forgiving them knowing what I know they did to me. Why should we forgive? Why in the world should I forgive someone that hurt me so deeply? Now, through the world lens, I don't have a good answer for that. But through God's lens, I want to share two biblical reasons why God says you need to forgive them. The first one is what I said earlier, because unforgiveness hurts me. It doesn't hurt them, right? Holding on to unforgiveness towards somebody that has hurt you greatly is like drinking poison, you drinking poison, hoping they die. Doesn't help, does it? Doesn't work that way. In our John 10:10 ministry, we teach you the importance of forgiving them so that you can be free and you don't have to stay bitter and you don't have to walk wounded from your past wounds and scars that somebody else inflicted on you. This is for your benefit. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up," where? Inside your heart, inside your mind. "To what? Cause trouble and defile many. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, to allow that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble or defile many." What unforgiveness does, when we get offended or wounded, that affects our emotions, it affects our mind, will, and emotions, and it creates this pattern. They offend us, we get mad, we stew on it, we get angrier, we get madder, we keep stewing on it, we start thinking about ways that make them pay, I'm going to get back at them, our anger grows into bitterness, our bitterness then escalates into hate, and if you don't stop it at some point, it's going to grow into murder or murderous thoughts. Now, some of you are thinking, "I'd never kill somebody." Yeah, but you thought about it. "I feel like killing them." You ever said something like that? I have. "I feel like killing them." In fact, last week, I'm just kidding. Or, "I wish they were dead." That's not healthy for Christ followers to have those kind of thoughts and attitudes. And so many people are living at some stage in that process, and they've just learned how to deal with it and not let it show so much. But you just wait till that trigger gets pulled, you're around them or something happens, and it all comes back up to the surface, and there it is. And that's an indicator that it's still there. The Bible has this verse that says, "Love keeps no record of wrongs, but bitterness keeps detailed records." They did this at this time to me, and you have all the details. You can play that tape like it happened yesterday. That's a good sign that you've not truly forgiven them. It's still bugging you. It still dominates your thoughts and your emotions. Detailed records. It's like cancer to your soul. And you can either try to live with it, but it usually doesn't get better unless you deal with it. And the way you deal with it, God says, is through forgiveness. That's one reason why, because it hurts you. Here's the second reason, because you'll need God's forgiveness someday. Now we're going to ratchet up a little bit here. You might be thinking, I'm willing to live with the hurt. Okay? Well, put your seatbelt on, because I'm getting ready to take you to another truth that you're not going to like. Matthew 6:14-15. "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Notice the word "if." It's a choice. You have free will. You can either do it or not. "If you decide to forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But," here's a big but, "if you do not forgive men their sins," if you do not forgive that one for anything they did to you and everything they did to you, watch this, "your Father will not forgive you." You're thinking, "I really don't have a choice." Oh, no, you have a choice. You just don't have a good one. Now, think about it. If it hurts you and it's going to keep God from forgiving you the next time, which is not a good place to be, I think you should consider taking Jesus' advice and figure out how to forgive that one for whatever they did. You with me? And then he goes on to tell a parable about this. In Matthew 18, there's a parable about a master who goes away. Oh, no, a master whose servant owed a bunch of money to that master, and he came to that master one day and said, "Would you forgive me of my debt?" And the master decided to forgive him of his debt. In fact, the amount that he owed his master was 10,000 talents. That might be the equivalent of, let's say, $10 billion today. Who would say that's a lot of money and impossible to pay back in a lifetime? Yeah. So he forgives him. And then this servant goes on his way, and another servant who owed that servant money comes to him and asks him the same thing. "Will you forgive me of my debt?" And that servant says, "No way." And the amount that other servant owed this servant that just got forgiven of much, was only 100 denarii, which is $10,000. So the one that was forgiven $10 billion was refusing to forgive the one that owed him much, much less, $10,000. And so when the master heard about that, you can imagine he wasn't very happy to get that report. Now, we know the master represents God, right? But listen to what the master's response is in verse 32. Then the master called that servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to." In other words, I forgave you. "Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant and forgiven him? Just as I had on you?" Watch his response. In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Now that's the parable. That's the earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Now look at the next sentence, because this is no longer a parable. Jesus has just finished the story, and listen to what he says. He says, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." I mean, we're backed into a corner. We don't have any good options but one. And what is that option? To what? Say it all? Come on. Some of you acting like you're not going to be willing to do it. What's the right response? For whose benefit? Okay. Now, it's interesting that when you think about the 10 billion versus the 10,000, when you think about all that God has forgiven us compared to what someone needs to be forgiven for, there's kind of a similar analogy there, right? We've been forgiven of all of our sins. That's a whole lot of stuff. And we're trying to forgive this one person that did this one thing or maybe a series of things to us. I think, work with me, I think we can draw the same analogy that what we've been forgiven is much more compared to what we need to forgive them for. But then the other thing I noticed here is also is how much we love to receive forgiveness for much, but how resistant we are to want to give it to somebody else. We do the Heisman. We give the pushback when we're asked to forgive somebody, but we're first in line when we need it. You know, "Will you please forgive me?" Doesn't it feel good when somebody says, "I will forgive you"? And so God says, if you're open to receiving it, why aren't you open to giving it? So those are two reasons. Because unforgiveness hurts us, and because we're going to need God's forgiveness in the future, and don't risk that, don't jeopardize that by not forgiving whoever hurt you. And then here's the third point, how do I forgive? How do I forgive? I mean, I know I should forgive now that you've said what you've said, but how do I do it? How do I really forgive somebody that ripped out my heart? How do I forgive somebody for what they did to me on an ongoing basis that just really deprived me of an opportunity or of a livelihood, a childhood? Pastor, how do you expect me to do that? Or what they did to my spouse or my kid or somebody I love and care about? Well, Jesus answers that. Number one, he says, pray for them. Pray for them. Look at Matthew 5, 43 and 44. It says, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." That's easy. "But I tell you," Bob, "love your enemies." What? "Love your enemies and do what? Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who have hurt you greatly." Why? Why? Because it's just hurting you, not them. And because you're going to need forgiveness someday. And here's what I think is true with this point about prayer. Listen, if you pray for them, even though you don't want to, if you pray for them, the more you pray for them, the harder it is to hate them because you're praying for them. Right? We don't want to pray for people. We want to hate people. Jesus said, no, you need to pray for them because that'll help you quit hating them. Now, when I say pray for them, I'm not talking about that they would get, you know, herpes or hemorrhoids. that they would get cancer. Don't pray that way. That's cursing them. But when you pray, the implication is that I'm going to pray and forgive them. I'm going to give you a little three-point forgiveness prayer here in a minute that'll guide you through this. And the first time you pray it, you may not feel anything. And I would just say, keep praying it, keep praying it, keep praying it. Just keep praying it. Until when you say their name or think about what they did, it just doesn't hurt as bad. In fact, Jesus said, pray the way I prayed. When he hung on the cross and was bleeding out and had done nothing wrong, and what did he say? Father, forgive them. Forgive them. And so we're to pray the way Jesus prayed. You might think, well, I don't feel like it. That's okay. Pray anyway. Obey God in doing what's right, and then your feelings will change. And maybe not right away, but over time your feelings will change, and you'll notice I just don't hate them as much. Or maybe I don't really hate them at all anymore. That's the goal. And I'm not saying you have to go be friends with them. You have to open up the relationship again. You may never talk to them again. You don't have to trust them anymore. But you're not walking around with the bitterness and the hatred in your heart like you used to. And now you're free from that, and they no longer dictate your emotional well-being. It's not hurting you anymore. That's the goal of praying and forgiving for what they did. And then here's point number two, forgive as you've been forgiven. How have we been forgiven? How has Jesus forgiven us? Completely and constantly or continually. Isn't that true? When Jesus forgives, he forgives. He doesn't bring it back up. He doesn't hold it against you. He doesn't remind you. Complete forgiveness and continual forgiveness. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other. Some of you are acting like a bear towards that person that hurts you. It says, bear with each other. In other words, it may not be easy, may not be quick. It's a process. But bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. That's anyone for anything. And it says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's completely and continually. You know, one day Peter asked Jesus, how many times do I need to forgive a guy? Seven? And seven was the number for completion. He didn't say it, but it says as if he said, okay, I'm going to pray seven times and then no more. It's done. I've done my duty. I forgave him seven times. Now I'm going to make him pay. And Jesus said, no, seven times 70. Which doesn't really mean 490, but that's not a bad place to start. But it was his way of saying, no, you never quit forgiving people. You always forgive them. Let me put it another way. How many times do you want God to forgive you moving forward? Seven? No, I like the seven times 70. Forgive them the way you've been forgiven. Another way of asking is, what would Jesus do? Jesus would say, you always forgive anyone for anything, no matter how hard it is. It's always the right thing to do, and it's for your benefit, not theirs. Is this helping anybody? In John 10:10, we have this little sticky statement, forgiven people, forgive people. Forgiven people, forgive people. People. Well, what if I'm in an abusive situation, Pastor? Let's talk about that for just a minute. Forgiving them for what they did doesn't mean you have to continue the relationship, doesn't mean you have to stay under the same roof. Sometimes if you have an abusive spouse, they can move out, you can move out. I don't expect you to stay in an abusive situation, and you'll just have to forgive them from a distance. If somebody's been unfaithful, if you want to stay together, great, but you need to learn how to forgive them. And if you want to end the relationship, you can, But make sure you've forgiven them first. I don't think God expects you to stay in an abusive situation. I mean, if a dog bites, quit petting that dog. So as I land the plane, I want you to think about what have you heard today that God was speaking to you? Now, a lot of you, you've been through John 10:10, and you know these tools, and you've been practicing this, and you really can't think today that there's nobody on my list or on my radar that I still have unforgiveness for that hurts me when I think about what they did. And that's a good thing. That's the goal. But others, I bet in a crowd this size, there are some, maybe many, that have somebody on that list. And I want you to bow your head for just a moment and close your eyes, and I want you to think about that person and what they did for just a moment. Don't look at me. Close your eyes. It's a way to help you focus on the matter at hand. Think about what they did or what they said or how they let you down, how they lied about you. Just think about that. And I'm going to get in agreement with you. It was bad, and it hurt. And they owe you something. But what they owe you probably can't be repaid. You can't go back and change it. You're at a crossroads. I either forgive them and get free, or I hang on to unforgiveness and stay bound up. And I think you would agree in your own fleshly power, you don't feel like doing it, which is why we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to supernaturally give us the desire and the courage to do what our natural flesh doesn't want to do. Here's the three-part prayer. The first thing is this: I forgive so-and-so for such-and-such. Go ahead and pray that under your breath. I forgive Johnny for, I forgive Susie for, I forgive my boss for, I forgive my wife or husband for, I forgive my kids for. Go ahead and fill in that blank. I forgive them for that. And be specific. Be specific. Don't just say, I forgive them for everything. No. I forgive them when they called me, blah, 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 when they did to me, blah, 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 blah. I forgive so-and-so for such-and-such. You're making a confession with your mouth. You're choosing, you're exercising your will to forgive that person for what they did. Whether you feel like it or not. Whether they deserve it. They don't deserve this. That's why we call it grace. In the same way you were forgiven by God because of His grace He gave you, you didn't deserve to be forgiven. He just gave it to you. Now you're going to give that same grace to that person that deeply hurt you. I forgive so-and-so for such-and-such. The second part of the prayer is, Lord, would you forgive me for holding on to this unforgiveness? Because the Bible calls unforgiveness sin. So would you forgive me for my sin of holding on to unforgiveness? I want to be forgiven for that. And then the third point, and the most important point, is what we want from this, and that is, Holy Spirit, would you now heal the hurt in my heart that situation caused? Heal my hurt. Heal my hurt. So I'm going to go through that prayer again. Lord, I forgive so-and-so for such-and-such. You might want to write this down. You'll be praying it often from this day forward. I forgive so-and-so for such-and-such. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for hanging on to that unforgiveness. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to heal the hurt that's in my heart. I want to get past my past. I want to move on. The resurrection makes it possible now. Father, thank you for speaking to us today about this important topic. Help us to do what you did, Lord. When you were hanging on the cross, you said, I forgive those who put me here. And you had done nothing wrong. I pray that we would be good at forgiving others the way you were good at forgiving us. Help us to do the right thing by the power of your Spirit. Lead us to always forgive. The sooner we forgive, the less we have to walk wounded. The next time somebody hurts me or offends me, I'm just going to immediately forgive them and give it back to you. I'm going to take them off my meat hook and put them on your meat hook and let you deal with them. And I pray that restoration would happen. I pray that our heart would be made new again. Our heart would be made whole again. Lord, I pray that you would heal any bitterness that's down in our soul right now. Any hatred, any anger. Those are not Christ-like characteristics. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would convict me to keep doing this and doing this and doing this over and over for that person until I can truly say it no longer hurts, it no longer stings, and I really don't have hateful thoughts anymore. I don't really want to see them again, but I don't hate them. I don't want there to be any hatred in my heart. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask one more question. There might be someone here today or watching online, and you feel separated from God at some level in some way because of your sin. And God wants to help you get past that today by being honest. Confessing that, yes, I'm a sinner. And I don't deserve forgiveness. I don't deserve eternal life. I don't deserve salvation. And God says, I know, but I love you so much. I want to give it to you if you'll receive it. There might be somebody here today that says, oh, I would love to receive God's forgiveness for all my mess ups, for all my shortcomings, for all my foul ups. Yes, Lord, forgive me today. If that's you, raise your hand. Lord, forgive me. Wash the slate clean. Wash the slate clean. I can leave here today. I can move forward. If you're watching from home, I can move forward today and through my week knowing that I'm right with God because there's no more smudge marks between me and Him. There's no more dark spots on my history between me and Him. He forgave them all. He washed them white as snow. When He looks at me, He sees somebody that's sinless. Oh, I so want that. Lord, get out your big eraser, your big forgiveness eraser, and erase everything I've ever done that was bad. Just forgive me for all of that. Today, I receive your grace of forgiveness and mercy. You're not going to give me what I deserve because you love me so much. You want to forgive me. And Lord, I receive that today. I receive your forgiveness. I say thank you. In fact, I want to live the rest of this day and into the future, however many days you give me. I want to live in such a way that will always tell you thank you, thank you, thank you for not giving me what I deserve. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray that. Amen.